It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Bill Moss, great to have you back. Great to have you here this morning. Glad you made it in. Yeah, a little bit of traffic problems there at Shepherd and Spartanburg Highway.
Yeah, there is. Avoid that. There's plenty of ways to get around it, and you might as well. It may be clearing up pretty soon, but I had to wait through three cycles to get through it, and I didn't say this, Sheriff Griffin, but then I had to make your hairpin turn here on two wheels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To make it to the studio in time for this week's Lightning Radio.
You were moving. I'm sorry. I should have called in an escort for you. I will do that next time.
I'll call Johnny Duncan next time.
Yes.
See if he can ride me in.
Absolutely. All right, Bill. We got a lot to cover. So let's get to it if we can. This week's Lightning, we'll start with a story that we borrowed from you this morning, of course, for our local news, and that's the medical practice embezzlement. Talk to us about that. Get a little deeper into that story for us.
Yeah, I guess we're making the pandemic worse because we're introducing yet another thing that's going viral in the community. And
yeah,
that's this story on HendersonvilleLightning.com, which is about a certain office manager of a well-known, as we said, and you reported on WTZQ News this morning, of a well-known medical practice and internist. Just really great, well-regarded family, the Caserios, and Dr. James J. Caserio, been here a long time after graduating in 1978 from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, and there was a serious financial problem going on in the practice, which over many, many years, which they finally discovered, was allegedly the work of an office manager, Carrie Henderson Spockman, who now at age 57, after her arrest last month, faces, I think it's 8 embezzlement and charges and 1 identity theft charge. They picked her up this past December 14th, and she faces those charges. First hearing on that. She probably had a first appearance already, but there's a hearing on that in March, and we'll go over the details of that.
Sure, absolutely. And I'm sure the Lightning's going to continue following this story also.
Absolutely. They show from 2013 to 2019, the search warrant applications reviewed by the Lightning show, Spockman is alleged to have embezzled $567,000 by writing checks payable to cash and depositing them into personal accounts of State Employee Credit Union and First Citizens Bank. On 81 of the checks, she used Dr. Caserio's signature stamp, the warrants application say, and on the rest, which is 485 checks, totaling
$485,000. Wow.
The doctor, the very busy, popular internist, signed unknowingly when she is alleged to have commingled the fraudulent checks with legitimate office and payroll checks. That's according to SBI agent Michael B. Phillips in his search warrant application. The other search warrant applications were made, we'd like to give a shout out to, by Hendersonville Police Detective Melinda Derner. They did a terrific job. This case was so big, so complicated, and involved so much money that after it was investigated by Hendersonville Police and by the State Bureau of Investigation, was reviewed by the district attorney here, was reviewed by the state attorney general before making these charges. So it's been in process for a long time, starting in 2020 when Dr. Caserio, seeing his practice financially going down the tubes, approached his daughter, Christina Caserio,
yeah,
who described herself in an interview with the Lightning to me as a research scientist and said, I look at data all the time. My specialty is pattern recognition. And this was a prime case of pattern recognition where once she looked at it and began to look at every check and create a spreadsheet, she discovered the patterns of how this was going and relatively small amounts, like $2,000, although there was at least two cases. Christina Casario told the Lightning, Dr. Casario told the Lightning this, giving herself a $10,000, allegedly giving herself a $10,000 Christmas bonus when no one else in the practice got a Christmas bonus. Wow. And on that one, Dr. Casario said, "We're kind of disappointed. We're kind of disappointing in our accounting firm for not discovering any of this as it wow. went along." So let me go back to that. After Christina Casario put this together, the practice, I gather, I think this is right, or maybe it's this is together, produced a 3,000-page report of spreadsheets and other words and documents on this case. And that's how thoroughly vetted, reviewed, and investigated it was. So after this work by Christina Casario on September 7, 2020, and we do have a patented Hendersonville Lightning timeline on this as well. As as you can see on page 3, she started working there in 2008, fired on September 7, 2020, after they figure out what's going on, they think. Sharon Alexander, Dr. Casario's attorney, calls Hendersonville police to report, quote, an office manager embezzling money for years, end quote. The next day, Dr. Casario's wife, Marcia Casario, well-known and beloved in the community for so many years, for so many reasons, from the HCATs to Women Helping Women to United Way to the Community Foundation and on and on and on. She's somewhat of a figure also, I mean, in a good way, in that she wasn't in more recent times able to monitor the practice as much as she used to. But she calls police. She gives an interview over the phone. She later gives an in-person interview with Detective Melinda Derner, and they get it all pretty much sorted out at that point as to what happened. But, well, no, it takes more and more time, like I say, all the way up to the state attorney general to get all the records. There were these search warrants I talked about issued October 10, 2020, based on Detective Derner's application, and then again on February 16, 2021, based on the application of SBI agent, Special Agent Phillips. And then the arrest at Henderson County Grand Jury indicts Spachman on 8 counts of embezzlement from 2013 to 2020 and 1 count of identity theft from 2017 to 2019. Spachman, 57, is arrested that day and later released on a $200,000 bond, which is something that, as far as the Casario family, they kind of cock an eyebrow at that $200,000 unsecured bond, saying that they believe it should be much higher.
I would have to agree with that. I'm also kind of with Dr. Casario and their accounting firm.
We don't name the accounting
firm. Of course
firm.
Not. Of course not.
As you can guess, we'll probably bird dog this more as time goes on. We think we got access to, through the, of course, our great clerk's office here in Henderson County, the clerk of Superior Court, to what is available right now. But, of course, more will become available. We do note that we were not able to reach Christopher S. Stepp is Spachman's attorney. He did not return our phone calls requesting comment about the embezzlement case, but he did file a pretty lengthy motion for, quote, voluntary discovery on December 21, a week after his client was arrested, asking the court, law enforcement agencies, the district attorney, the state attorney general, and whomever else might be in possession of such files for your complete case files, any statements by witnesses, detectives' notes, physical evidence, any expert witnesses that the state expects to call and describe their qualifications. It seems kind of an early stage to be asking for something like that, but I'm not a lawyer, and he is. So he knows what to ask for. All search warrants and arrest warrants, those are obvious and public record for anyone to see. Describe any conversation that may have occurred between Spachman and law officers, and describe any visual or electronic surveillance they may have made of her, and turn over any evidence that they have that would, quote, tend to indicate in any way that someone other than a defendant committed the crimes charged, end quote. So more to come on this, and I'll make one. I know this is a long segment, but I think people probably would be interested. This amount of roughly $567, that's the checks, right?
That's just
there's
the checks.
There's two other asterisks.
The Amazon account.
One is the Amazon account.
Yeah.
Let me get to that.
That was like over $100,000, if I recall.
Detectives also, let's just say detectives and the Casario family also suspect this office manager of using this Amazon account, which Dr. Casario said she created, did not exist independently of her, to make 550 online purchases from Amazon, eBay, and PayPal, plus to purchase airline tickets from American, United, Southwest, and JetBlue. The online purchase totaled almost $175,000. That would bring, she's not charged with that. I'll tell you why in a minute. That would bring the grand total to basically $750,000. She is not charged with that because detectives, I guess, and prosecutors, they told the Casario family, at any rate, that they didn't feel like they could prove that the Amazon merchandise, and I guess these other transactions, including plane tickets, I'm a little curious about why that wouldn't be more directly traceable to her. But
yeah,
going back to merchandise, that they couldn't prove, because the merchandise arrived at Dr. Casario's office, the corner of 6th Avenue and Justice Street, they were not able to prove that that Carrie Spockman was the
receiver of
that merchandise.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe it was medical supplies, you know.
So
you can see that there. Point, even larger point, potentially, allegedly, asterisk number two, they could only get bank checks back for 7 years. Thus, they believe if she started this, not in 2013,
but in
where the bank checks went back to, but the day she signed on, or sometime fairly close to the day she signed on to the practice in 2008.
Right.
So, as Dr. Casario says, allegedly, this could double the take. He almost lost his practice. This is the fact that this person is no longer and hasn't been since 2020, the office manager of his office, means that, of course, that saved his practice, because Detective Derner documented losses from fraudulent checks of $24,000 in 2016. And if you look at this, this does show that it was going up. $110,000 in 2017, $177,000 in 2018, $87,000 in 2019, and $14,000 in 2020. But you have to assume there was, at that point, probably summer or maybe even spring, you know, she must have seen that they were suspicious well before that date of firing, which was September 7th. So that would be, it's not that she, had a come to Jesus, I'm going to quit doing this moment in 2020. It's that she must have suspected that they were suspecting her.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's
a big story. That's a big story.
It's a big deal. And we'll continue.
Yep.
Will it be pleaded out? We don't know. Will it go to trial? If it does, there's always even more excitement then.
Sure, absolutely. Let's do a quick short break, and we will be back with more from Lightning Radio here on theCUBE.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background, paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto, to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A, or at barnettandcoates.com.
Cold weather is coming, so you'd better be prepared. Kaysen Oil has fuel oil and K1 kerosene readily available. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil, serving our community for over 40 years.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss. Bill, let's move on, if we can. Let's move on to more news about the comprehensive plan for Henderson County and the commissioners.
Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time working on this over the weekend because we knew and didn't have chance to get to it in the way that the Lightning, in the depth that the Lightning likes, about the commissioners meeting last Monday night. Chiefly, not only, but chiefly because we felt like the commissioners sort of on the record for the first time commenting on the comp plan and
right.
trying to sort of forecast how that's going to come out in terms of we now learn at least four more meetings to sort of workshop and dissect, debate, discuss, and potentially adopt this 2045 plan. So they heard once again in that meeting from 16 county residents who had told them again that this land use plan, because of the last edits, amendments, and changes by the planning board, is weak on preserving open land and preventing sprawl. And this all comes as the task confronts them, the Lightning reports, amid pressure from growth, tension between property rights and low-density zoning, and demands that they, commissioners, use the long-range plan to protect the county's rural character. To which Daniel Andreotta sums up, all we have to do is figure out how to preserve everything just like it is, make room for the thousands that are coming, limit development, and bring housing costs down. That he quips, we should be able to do that before lunch tomorrow. And, of course, the result of this meeting and the comments of all five commissioners was, we can't do that before lunch tomorrow or before lunch 2 weeks from now or before lunch in April. Mm-hmm. We need to spend many meetings workshopping this, understanding it before we go forward. So like we say, that'll be interesting to see if commissioners there was a lot of talk about, of course, like I say, the land preservation, all that. And the Lightning says, if commissioners want to adopt a plan whose primary intent is land preservation and a ban on high to medium density subdivisions, condos or commercial use out in the country, they'll have to go through David Hill to get there. And that's how we introduce David Hill is going to be the standard bearer for property rights.
Okay.
He's not going to be for telling the whole apple country that the only housing you can have is on 5 acre lots or none at all. He'll be opposed to that. Michael Edney probably will be. Commissioner Lapsley being, as we say, informed as usual by an engineer's linear thinking and attention to detail, had combed through the whole comp plan over the holidays and told his colleagues that, look, this has 8 major goals, 35 recommendations, and 200 items underneath those recommendations, so we're going to need time.
Wow.
To do it. In the end, there's way more in the Lightning about this. In the end, his colleagues accepted Lapsley's proposal that they devote 4 meetings at least to workshop the comp plan with the goal of adopting it by June. In other words, we're just in the first quarter of this game.
Wow. A lot more to go with that story as well.
There'll be many more, but one opportunity to kind of see it maybe fairly concisely is if you want to go to the Republican Men's Club in its meeting at 8 a.m. Saturday, January 21. That's a week from Saturday at the Cascades Resort. Henderson County Planning Director Autumn Radcliffe will take the stage to present the comp plan at that time.
A couple more stories to go. We're going to talk downtown Hendersonville parking here in just a moment. But first, another viral story. Our historic train depot is going to have a cameo in a new Hallmark Christmas movie being filmed.
And what a fun one it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will get that cameo appearance in a Hallmark Christmas movie set and currently underway, filming at the Biltmore Estate. A Biltmore Christmas stars Bethany Joy Lenz and Christopher Palaha, it is, P-O-L-A-H-A. I'll need to go to my pronunciation dictionary, or you do. The female protagonist, a screenwriter who lands a job of a lifetime to write the script of a remake of an old Biltmore Christmas movie from 1947. Well, in the course of her research on the grounds at the Biltmore Estate, she knocks over a hourglass and time travels back to the 1940s.
Uh-huh.
Catches the eye of the co-star,
of course,
and as a Hallmark movie is wont to do, a love story develops, and it needs some Christmas magic to save the love story. So look for this to happen on January 27, when the 19O Depot will be bustling with crowds in a way it has not been much since passenger trains used to disgorge, you know, hundreds of passengers.
Pretty cool.
A crew of about 70 people will be on hand, and 30 extras will be on the scene. And Jamie Carpenter, our great downtown manager, says they'll be filming just the exterior of the depot and doing a lot of things like CGI kind of things in post-production as far as making it look like it was from the 40s. So that'll be really fun when we watch that movie to see. You know, we might look at that like, what is that? That doesn't even look like our depot.
Exactly.
It's going to look different, I'm sure. But and it might only be, who knows? It might be 15 seconds, you know, or it might be 5 minutes.
Sure.
But there are only there one day. So that tells me it's not.
It can't be that much.
It can't be that, because you can film for a day and only get a minute.
Right.
I mean, you know better than me.
But, absolutely. Yes.
But she says she does think this will be a boon for that one day and a few days on either side of it in terms of equipment rental, hotels,
so
forth.
Of course.
We've encouraged them, Jamie tells the Lightning, and they've included in their application that they would go to local businesses and support them with their crews. So I'm sure some of those businesses, especially the bakery, Daddy D's, the coffee shop and everything, will be pretty busy with about 100 extra people right there that day.
They're going to discover that Daddy D's fried chicken, and they're never going to leave.
And they're going to go, the coffee shop, the espresso shop, and
that's excellent.
The jalapeno pretzels as well.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Good for them. Another thing that really has been going viral this week, and that is, of course, the news on the downtown Hendersonville parking. We're coming down to it. The parking garage is going to be completed in February.
Yep.
And we start the meter to paid parking beginning March 1. But right now, parking is free.
Yep.
Until March 1.
Between now and when they light the kiosk up, right?
Right, okay. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we'll have a little bit more on this because the Lightning also checked out Assistant City Manager Brian Polly, who's honchoed this parking deck from the start. We checked out his comments yesterday morning as well at Business Morning Update. And here are the changes effective March 1st. Main Street and Avenue parking is basically parking between Church and King, right?
Yep.
Goes from free to $2 an hour. Most parking violations, $25 to $50. Construction parking permits, $5 to $15. City parking lot rates will go from $1 to $1.50 an hour. And the current three-hour time limit on Main Street is eliminated because they figure, well, you're paying for it.
Right.
You know, go on your go to the is it Park Mobile?
Yes.
Go to the Park Mobile app. So you'll have the Park Mobile app. You'll look at your smartphone and say, oh, we didn't get our dessert yet. I guess I'll sign up for, and you know, 2 more hours.
Well, here's the most important thing in that. To park in either the parking deck or one of the lots, your first hour is free.
Oh.
If you park on the if you park on the streets, Main Street or the avenues, the first half hour is free. So if you're just swinging downtown to pick up something, you're good. You're good.
Another huge asterisk there. You're a late diner like me?
Yeah.
After 7 o'clock?
Oh, yeah.
Free.
There you go.
Right, isn't that right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure
I haven't read that, but I would believe that, yes.
You're going to see that in the Lightning, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Then you'll also hear it on the queue.
I'm pretty sure parking costs, well, let me hold that till next week, because there's actually some ways that, I'm not going to have to park.
Well, and they do say in the story that this is a moving target.
Brian Polly does make that point very clearly that there's flexibility.
Yeah.
And he says if revenue comes in, how do they know how much revenue they need? They know exactly how much they need because they need enough to cover the debt service to pay for the $11 million parking lot. Okay? That's a finite number. They know it. Okay. So if parking revenue is way more than enough to cover that, then they might go down to $1.50 an hour.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's what he says. So yeah, it is. It, of course, he didn't really say this, but what if it's not nearly enough?
That story can go both ways, right?
Yeah.
All right, Bill. Let's squeeze and again more to come and more to hear about parking downtown Hendersonville. We'll see if we can't get Brian back here at the radio station sometime too. Bill, let's finish it up. You've been awesome. We've jammed a lot of news in just a little bit of a time. Let's get a little bit more in. The lighting ordinance that the city's been talking about. Businesses have reached out to urge the city to do something about this light
oh,
ordinance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had convenience store owners, the Chamber of Commerce, Susan Frady, who's the new, well, they've been there for a while now, executive director of the Partners for Economic Progress.
Yeah.
Bill McKibben, well-known savior of the Flat Rock Playhouse about 7 years ago, owner of Henderson Oil and the Energy Mart convenience stores. Ken Gordon of the dorms, Minute March,
yep.
All said, look, we rely on lighting so we can be seen. We especially rely on lighting for safety.
Yep.
To me, this ordinance, Marilyn Gordon told the council, as it's intended, really speaks to reducing outdoor lighting. Nothing in this ordinance addresses safety and security, which she pointed out to the city council really is one of their chief obligations as elected officials to run a town. Ken Gordon talks about his survey driving to work this morning on Spartanburg Highway. I was trying to count the number of floodlights, well over 150 in just a short drive. It was asked earlier in the meeting the number of businesses that would be affected. I would think nearly all of them would be affected. So this is not necessarily back to the drawing board, but the council, sort of like the county commission, saying, whoa, too much here to eat in one sitting.
Yeah.
They're going to have to take another look at this and see if they might curtail its what the business community regards as its burdensome effect on businesses and commercial interest.
Yeah, I'm on the Chamber of Commerce board, and as well as Bill McKibben, so he's been keeping us posted as all this. And it is muck and mire. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Bill heads the government policy committee of the chamber, and aside from being, of course, a convenience store business owner, was there in that capacity as well.
Yeah. Bill, you want to touch on anything else before we wrap it up?
Just congratulations to to Major. I think we mentioned them before. Major Eric Summey, Captain Brandon Staten. Thank you very much for all you did for the Hendricks family, and Lieutenant Kevin Holden on their retirement, all roughly around 30 years. We certainly want to also congratulate Senior Firefighter Riley Four. As Firefighter of the Year of City of Hendersonville, and Lieutenant Dylan Williams, Officer of the Year. And just one more really good quote from Firefighter 4. The fire department is a family you didn't know you wanted or needed, but you're grateful to have.
Yes, you are. Bill, one more reminder of the stoplight there at Shepherd Street and Spartanburg Highway, right where you cross Shepherd over Spartanburg Highway into and it turns into Airport Road. When you were coming here this morning, that light was misbehaving.
Yeah.
Don't know if it still is or not, so you may want to avoid that area for a bit.
Yeah, I was backed up all the way to the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Acosta Trail East.
Yeah. Yeah, that's busy.
Zirconia to Trailhead Link, the missing link. I was backed up on the other side of the factory there, and had to wait through three cycles, and then y'all were saying it was apparently it's been going haywire.
Paige said it was going haywire when she came in. When I came through way early this morning, it was working fine. But so we'll see. So you may want to avoid that area for just a bit.
And at last check, 51 degrees. We don't get snow. We don't get snow, do we? Do we get snow?
Paul says Friday night. Friday night there could be some. Some people may see some flurries somewhere, but that's it.
It'll probably be OP snow, won't it?
OP.
Other people's snow.
Other people, yes.
Where it floats in that you see the few little those little bitty. I always say that's from Madison County. That's OP snow.
That's OP snow. I'm gonna remember that. I'm gonna remember that. Bill, thank you so much. There's much more news in this week's Lightning. Where can people pick up their copy?
And any of the Lightning Orange racks around the county, as long as you avoid Shepherd Street and Spartanburg Highway, or by going to the aforementioned HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe in order to join the growing legions of Lightning fans and get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also easy and fun to do, call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.